the readings of today each would allow us to speak about them for many, many minutes, maybe hours. But we don't have that luxury. But I've always remembered this first reading from the book of Kings. The prophet Elijah, who was praying and wanted to see God in some way or other. Some people always have this curiosity. Others don't have to have that curiosity. They already have that curiosity fulfilled. And so most people, they think that there's going to be just something tremendous. He did too. He expected a great snowstorm, a great hurricane or tornado, an earthquake, volcano, fire, and brimstone. And our Lord was not to be found in any of those things in which he was looking. He was looking for the fantastic. And not that our Lord is not fantastic. He is indeed. But not in the worldly sense of the word. So then he was getting disappointed, and then all of a sudden the Lord appeared. And in the mountains especially, in the evenings, there is what is called the evening sapphire. Poets have written much about it. It's indeed like a tiny whispering sound of the wind. And Elijah heard it, and he got down on his face to worship God. Because it was not in the fantastic, but in that which is less so. But yet, most wondrous and most beautiful, that God is to be found. Of course, in the reading from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, we have one of his continuous complaints about his people. He was Hebrew. He was of the house of Israel. Salvation was promised to the Hebrews, to the house of Israel, but most of them refused it. And so he moaned and groaned. And he even wish something which is ridiculous in a sense. I wish that I could myself be accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. Now mind you, his kindred according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit, those who belong to the mystical body of Christ, the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church, they are his kindred, not just in the flesh, which comes and goes, but in the Spirit, which is immortal and eternal. So he complains about them that they boast. Of course, the more a person boasts, the less they have to boast of. Theirs is the adoption, yes, in Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The glory on Sinai, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the magnificent worship of the temple, the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them, the patriarchs, comes, according to the flesh, Jesus Christ, who is overall God blessed forever. And so they may have other things that were precursors of the Christ, but we, who are members of his mystical body, have the Christ. And so St. Paul moaned, but at the same time, he knows where and only where salvation comes from. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is this same Jesus Christ who performs several miracles here. He's already fed the crowd of thousands with just a few loaves of bread and fishes. And that is not enough for them. Of course, people will look for fantastic things. Nothing is fantastic enough for them. So he does this, and then he dismisses the apostles. Go on the other side in the boat. I will join you later. Now, of course, no one dared to ask, how are you going to join us later? He did not have a boat. He didn't need one. In the meantime, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, that is, to give us an example in his humanity. He needed to give us the example to pray to his divinity and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. But ultimately speaking, he didn't need to, but he wanted to give us an example. So then he comes down, and the apostles in their boat are way off, and they are being tossed about in the waves and the wind, just as he intended it to be. There are no accidents for God. Everything is planned by him. Good things and what we consider bad things, which are ultimately good for us. So as the night was well nigh on, he comes walking on the sea. Now, there are those in this day and age, modernists, heretics, within the church, not outside the church, within the church. And today, most heretics are inside the church, trying to destroy the church, trying to follow the spirit of Satan, not of Christ, in every which way. And there are some who say, well, he actually walked on stones. Well, this was not a creek. This was the sea. And the apostles knew this sea very well. If there were stones there, do you not think that they would have known about them? Nonsense. Foolish, heretical nonsense. So do not listen to those who say such things. And there are many, even in high places. So the apostles were frightened. They've never seen this before. At first, they didn't know it was he. There was wind and foam and spray all over. And they cried out, "It is a ghost." And then Jesus spoke to them, "Be not afraid. Take courage. It is I." Peter, as always, is the one to speak. We saw it last week. "Lord, if it be thy will, I will build one tabernacle here for you, for Moses, and for Elijah," the same Elijah that we just spoke of, representing all the prophets. Our Lord did not pay attention to it, just as he did not pay attention to it on Mount Tabor. So he says, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water. If it is really you, then you can make all things happen." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out and started to walk on the water. And you'd think he would have believed by then. So you're not so different from the apostles and the disciples. Here he is allowing a miracle to take place, as he allows here in this shrine of Our Lady of Fatima for so many miracles to take place. Today I had the great pleasure of baptizing half of a family. The other half is preparing, hopefully. And the father was a Protestant minister who did not believe in the church, who hated the church. A few months ago, almost a year, he came to me with a wife and the children. "We want to become Catholics." And so today I had the pleasure of baptizing half of their family, six of them. And there is one on the way, so soon there will be another, a seventh. Now, who would have told somebody that a minister who hates the church, who speaks against the church, not against the ministers of the church, God surely knows that there are many bishops and priests and popes too that are very evil. Yes, go ahead and speak against them. Nothing wrong with that. Somebody needs to slap them silly to wake them up before they go to hell. But he spoke against the church, against the Eucharist, against the Blessed Mother and the saints. And after the baptism, all of them knelt before this miraculous statue of the Blessed Mother. And I remind you, tomorrow is the 13th. It's Fatima Day. We get an indulgence, a plenary indulgence, on the 13th of every month. And of course, we will get an indulgence on Tuesday, the glorious feast of the Assumption of our Blessed Mother, body and soul into heaven. And they knelt here most beautifully before her and consecrated themselves to her that she may present them to her Son, Jesus Christ. Now tell me, there are not miracles. If you had asked me in December if this would take place, I would have said no. Now we have to pray for the rest of them who have been trained all their lives to hate the church. They can't understand why their parents all of a sudden are Catholics. Please pray for them. So St. Peter had miracles all around him. The multiplication of fishes and loaves. Jesus walking on the water. He walking on the water. And then he doubts. Doubts come from where? God permits them. But where do they come from? They come from hell. They come from the devil. And the minute they come, you need to chase them away. And say to him, whatever spirit it may be, go away and go back to hell where you belong. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But St. Peter did not yet know this. So he was beginning to sing, and he knew he would drown. So he yells out, Lord, save me. Jesus pulled him out. And of course, there's no one else in the world that can save us except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we call him that. It's not just some fancy title. He is our Savior. Jesus, Lord, save me. We should say that 1,000 times a day, because we are surrounded by the enemy. We are surrounded by the snares of hell and by the promise of damnation if we do not get hold of Jesus. Lord, save me. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And he pulled him into the boat and got in with him. He said nothing else. And the other apostles and disciples that were there, they all fell to their knees. They had a revelation at everything that was happening around them. Truly, you are the Son of God. And who is the Son of God? God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.